Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening this morning. Again, we remind you of a change that's coming in a couple of weeks. Beginning the first of the year, we're going to answer Bible questions on our program. We're going to take your questions written in, and we're going to give you a Bible answer to those questions beginning the first Sunday in January. Get those questions, send them to Harrisburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. We also want you to check out our website, www.harrisburgchurchofchrist.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be giving our meeting times here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all these services. You will always be warmly received. The Jews, during the time of Christ upon the earth, were very proud of their Jewish heritage. On one occasion, they answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been under bondage to anyone. How can you say, 'You will make us free'?" In John 8, verse 33. Jesus correctly pointed out to them that if they were true to what they said, then they would do the works of Abraham, their spiritual father, in verse 39. Yet, they must have been startled when his Jewish listeners to know their spiritual lineage was not Abraham, it was really the devil. Why? It was just as startling the fact that their Jewish lineage would not take them to heaven alone, that it was going to take them following the faith of Abraham and being obedient to his will. And yet they were not even true to the things they said, because at the time of this statement, they were under the bondage to Rome. That was one of the reasons that they rejected the Lord, is because he did not give them what they had perceived that the Messiah would bring. That is, a return to glory and prominence, a mighty nation again, and an earthly king, and they would be released from their Roman oppression. That was not what Jesus offered. That's not what the prophets foretold, and so they rejected him. The word recorded here in Matthew chapter 7 are for all of life's travelers. Millions now are traveling with no thought to where their destination is leading them. Would you board a bus or a plane not knowing what the destination was and where you were headed? Where are you on the spiritual highway in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Where are you headed for eternally, my friend? Do you know for sure? Do you ever get concerned to make sure you're staying on course, that you might stray from your final destination? Let us consider the message of our Lord that's given in two simple verses in the Great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." We want to look at three lessons for life travelers that are contained in these two simple verses. Number one, there are only two gates. The Lord clearly stated his preference for us to follow which one. Entering is a matter of personal choice, not predetermined, not done by any but ourselves. Some facts to consider about this gate, the straight gate. Straight here means narrow. It means difficult. Hard to enter because sacrifice is involved. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, we're told to take up our cross and follow him. And we're also taught that we must love him more than anything else in Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. The baggage of the riches of this world and the cares of this world will not fit. The love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. The baggage of seeking earthly pleasure will not fit. Moses learned that. Read Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25. It was only for a season. The baggage of self-centeredness will not fit. James chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We must strive to enter. That means to agonize. That means a constant struggle. We must continually discipline ourselves. Read 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 through 27. Barriers must be broken down. and deliberation must be shown. 2 Peter 3 and verse 12, we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. Consider some facts about the wide gate. It takes no diligence in search to find it. It's easy to find. It takes no resolution to consider it. Just get on board. It takes no self-denial to desire it. Just hang on. It takes no truth to enter it. Any will suffice. Yes, there are just two gates. One straight and narrow, one broad and wide. Number two, there are just two ways. Way is a metaphor signifying a course of life that one's pursuing. There is no middle ground here. There is no middle way and there is no gray area. It's either heaven or hell, life or death, or blessings or torment. There are not many ways in the Bible. There are just two. Here are some Bible facts about the narrow way. Jesus is the only door to enter that way. According to John 14 verse 6, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. The only access into God's presence is by the works and the obedience to his Son. Except means shows how narrow it is, because except that, except a man is born of water and spirit, he can by no ways enter the kingdom of God. Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse number 24. Requirements of unity and purity prove that it is narrow. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, gives the seven ones of the platforms of unity. How do you get into the way of Christ? You're buried with him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. You put him on in baptism, Galatians 3, verse 26 and verse 27. And you obey him, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9. How do we continue to walk in his way? We put on his doctrine, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We keep his commandments because we love him, John 14, verse 15. Now consider some things about the broad way. It is traveled by the majority. Remember in the days of Noah? Remember Joshua and Caleb, the only spies that were faithful? Remember Lot and Sodom? He was greatly outnumbered. Is the attitude of the majority that makes the way easy to go? No problems. It can accommodate many. It can ever amend and shift to meet the plans and the changing whims of men. Yet, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Yes, there are just two ways that you can go. One is very positive. The other is quite negative. And last but not least, there are just two destinies. Even here, some think that there is some middle ground called purgatory, where you can go because you were not too bad or you're not too good, and then over time and prayer and money, you can be booted up to be in the better place. Wonderful thought, just not biblical. They think in terms of neither being a saint nor a sinner, and yet we're either one or the other. In the judgment scene, there's sheep and goats. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, there's a right and there's a left. I don't read of anything in the middle. Life is a grand word to describe heaven. It's a life that we've been promised where there's no pain, no death, no suffering, no dying, no grief, no anguish, no sickness, no decaying. Read Revelation 21, verse 4. Heaven is a place that only those who have prepared themselves shall enter, according to Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15. Only those that have done the will of the Father can enter, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And our works follow us into that place if they have been found to be faithful in accordance with God's word, Revelation 14, verse 13. Is heaven at the end of the road in which you are now traveling? I hope so, dear listener. If not, why not? Destruction is a terrible word. It's used to describe hell and everything evil and ugly that's in it. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, it talks about where the cowardly, and it also says that all liars will have their place in that lake of fire. In Matthew 25 verse 46, it's called everlasting punishment, condemnation. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're told it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hell is a result of rebellion against God. by those who know not God and those who obey not his gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9. Is hell at the end of the road you are now traveling? Why would you desire such a place? Do you know who will be there? All the ungodly, all the evil, all the things that you tried to avoid your whole life, and yet you could end up spending all eternity with them simply because you were not righteous, simply because you did not choose God, and certainly because you did not choose the right path. You see, we sing a song sometimes called, "There is a gate that stands ajar." My friend, which gate stands ajar for you? Will the road you are on at this moment, at this present time, take you to heaven, or will it take you to everlasting destruction? To enter the everlasting kingdom, you must be a member of the kingdom of his dear Son, as those were added to it in Acts 2:47, and they were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his Son in Colossians 1, verse 13. Are you a member of that kingdom? If you're on this other road, why would you desire to continue to travel down a path which only leads up in total separation from God? Now that you know which way you're going and the outcome of your journey, what will you do? You see, dear listener, this message for life's travelers is very simple. There are just two gates. One is straight and narrow, the other is broad and wide. One takes struggle, commitment, and dedication to enter. The other takes no dedication, no commitment, and anything will be accepted. But it is wide, and it is broad for a reason. And many go in, but the Bible simply says that they go to destruction. There are just two ways. One way leads to Christ and life. One way leads to the devil and torment and destruction forever and ever. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are headed to one of two eternal destinies. Either heaven and all of its glory and all of its wonderful beauty and all the splendor that we can read about in the Bible, to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of his Son, and the saved of all ages and the angels, around the throne of God, singing his mercy, extolling his grace, and his virtue for all eternity. What a wonderful place. What a beautiful picture. But there is another side of that coin. And it's called hell. And it's destructive. And it's terrible. And it's horrible. And it's ugly. It's a place that has weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where the worm dieth not. Where there's outer darkness. Where there's anguish, when one is tormented day and night, with no reprieve, with no relief. And it's a place where one that will never be in the presence of God for all eternity, and to be with the sinner and the lost in hell forever and ever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't put a good spin on that. It's a terrible place that you want to avoid. And so in closing this morning, which course are you on? As you travel down life's pathway, are you on the straight and narrow path that leads to life? Or are you on the broad and wide path that leads to destruction? If you're listening to this program, you have time and opportunity to change if you're on the wrong path. If you're on the right path, we commend you to continue and don't lose faith. Which will it end for you, dear listener? Think about it. Hope you tune in again next Lord's Day. Thank you.